get a shot up at the buzzer. It's good. Brooks Hall.
The place
hits it at the buzzer. The Dayton Flyers.
Pandemonium in the Dayton Decibel Dungeon.
Sanford cracks all the way.
Oh. This is one of the great college basketball venues in the nation. UD Arena.
And welcome back to Talking Out Loud, season 5 of Talking Out Loud. Sully just perked up in his seat when I said season 5. It's hard to believe it's been 5 years, doesn't it?
Is it really 5 years of just talking out loud? You're
just talking,
me, right?
Our fifth season of Talking Out Loud. Our first season was 2019-2020, the magical year. And here we are in 2024, getting ready to kick off yet another Dayton basketball season. And this time, we get to start the year with an NCAA tournament victory under our belt from last season. The faded victory against Nevada, and then eventually bounced by Arizona, and we said goodbye to Daron Holmes, among others that we'll get into as the show continues. As I've already mentioned, Sully's here. Sully, how are you?
I'm doing well. Re-energized every October to talk Dayton basketball, as it always is. It's just, you know, season by season, how energized you are, you know, that varies, right? Sometimes you're energized into Christmas. Sometimes the team really keeps you interested all the way through. But as we've talked about on this show many times, podcasting is a dirty business. And, you know, you all are really jazzed for the season. You are. But when we're playing Tuesday night at St. Joe's in January, you're not as jazzed, and you're not putting as much time into the team as a weekly podcast. So I just want to, you know, start the season with a PSA that it's hard work out here, and it's thankless work. And frankly, it's profitless work.
That is a fact, and we're just a bunch of sickos who love to do it for the love of the game. That's all we are. I'm great. Very excited for this season to get here because, well, my football team stinks, and I really want basketball to start. So I'm very, very excited that we're only 12 days away at time of recording, 11 days away when this is published. Dayton opens the season in 11 days on Monday, November 4th.
St. Francis, Red Flashes,
baby.
Got to drive past it. If you've ever driven from Pittsburgh to Penn State, then you know exactly where St. Francis, PA is, in Loretto, PA. The pride of Loretto, the Red Flashes, are going to open up the season. Drew, trivia question. We do it every year.
Right off
the
top.
When was the last time Dayton lost their home opener, and who did they lose it to? Come on, we do it every year.
We do this every year. I think it was...
You never remember.
And I never remember. I never remember it. I never remember this.
It's 2000... such a specific game, too.
I know. Gosh. God darn it.
You're going to kick yourself when I'm
in a pretzel. I'm in a pretzel, damn it. I'm gonna say it was 2005.
It was the 2005 season, but it was 2004. Okay. The opponent was the Eastern Kentucky Colonels, to which UD lost on opening night, 73-66. Ouch. You always got to start out with that trivia, and it's my favorite thing about the show, because we've been doing this show a long time.
Long time.
You forget,
and
every
I forget
single
every
year.
Time. That's hey. A lot of things go through my brain over year process. That just usually just goes in one ear and out the other. Here's the thing. You can mark this down, timestamp this. Next season, when we start this back up again, I am going to get it wrong. I'm definitely going to get it wrong. So
you'll forget. That's one of the things. That's one of the things for me as a podcaster. Like, there's a couple of facts I just have like burned into my head, right? Like certain trivia statistics. And I can't come up with another example off the top of my head, but that one sticks in my head because now it's becoming, you know, a thing. Like,
right.
It's now going to be this season. It'll be 20 years since Dayton lost their home opener. And frankly, like, when you get to the 20-year mark of anything, that's when it starts to be significant. Like, I heard Mike Wilbon on PTI the other day. He was like, how many times a week do you see on ESPN? First time since 2019. Get that crap out of here. And it was real, like, man yells at clouds. But there was merit in the discussion of, we're 20 years away now from when Dayton lost their home opener. There is a little bit of reverence that comes into that. Granted, it might be a really long time because, as you know, the schedule now kind of allows itself. We're going to play a cupcake to open up the season, but take it for what it's worth. It's been 20 years. And you have a child's about to drink. They haven't seen it.
Yeah. It hasn't been without some close calls. Indiana State comes to mind. The IPFW, who could forget the Jordan Seifert shot of the Elite Eight year. So it hasn't been without a few scares here and there, but you're right. 20 years, if you win this one, it's 20 consecutive years of opening up your season 1-0. And well, hey, it's a lot better than opening up your season 0-1. All right, let's jump right into it. Sully, it's basically a brand new basketball team. We bring back some guys, we bring in some others. We lose our best player. We lose two of our other major role players. What are your expectations for this season? And what kind of things are you looking for as we move through November in the early part?
The expectations and what I'm looking for are two different things, right? The expectations for the season don't change from here on out because of the landscape of college basketball, where Dayton sits in the, let's call it, hierarchy of A-10, and the amount of talent that they're able to recruit, right? Like, those three factors mean that every single season, the expectation, until something significantly changes in the NIL landscape or the NCAA, is to get to the NCAA tournament. Like, let's just start right there. Every single year, the goal is win the conference, get to the NCAA tournament. And of course, there's a multitude of ways to get to the NCAA tournament. So that's kind of the bare minimum now, if you really think about it. You know, what's it worth pounding our chest that we're top 30 in attendance if we can't be a top 35 program when it comes to at-large earning a bid? Maybe let's go up to 40 there. But the realistic thing is Dayton needs to position itself as a top 40 program year in, year out, because that's how you get to the tournament. You're a top 40 program. So whether you're, you know, at-large or winning your conference, you're getting a bid. So let's just start right there, that from here on out, you know, Anthony Grant's the coach, retires tomorrow morning, whatever. Dayton is perfectly positioned to get into the tournament year in, year out, and compete in the top four of the A-10. Have I said anything incorrect? Do you agree with it? Rebuttal.
No, I agree with everything you just said.
Okay. It's early in the season. I'm rolling. It's October. We're getting into mid-season form, of course. But as far as like what I'm looking for in the team this year, they're probably going to get a little bit more leeway from me than they normally do just because of what you just said. I don't really have any expectations of this team, because how the fuck could you have expectations of this team? They're completely new. You know, we got five guys coming in the rotation. You got what? Probably two freshmen that are going to play. You know about Santos. You lost Elvis. You lost Brea. Lord knows what version of Malachi Smith you're going to get. And I think that is the early season X factor of this all, because you can see a world where AG doesn't stick with Malachi too long, because why would he? He hasn't really played competitive basketball in about 18 months now, right? And he has a history of injuries. So that if he's not kind of gelling things and keeping the ball moving or turning it over a lot, I mean, we kind of figured out we don't need him anymore, right? I mean, let's just put the cards on the table. So I think that's kind of the earliest decision, is what does the guard play look like? And, you know, thankfully, or I guess I can't say thankfully, unfortunately, they only have one real game until they really got to figure out what they're going to go with, right? Yep. So expectations are the same. What do I want to see? I want to see some quick decisions by AG on like what this team's going to be, because as everybody knows, you get Northwestern right out of the gate, and then you have a couple of cushy games with Ball State. Maybe New Mexico State gives you a little bit of a scare, and then you're going straight into Maui. So Capital at home is a good like get right game. But I think you're seeing what I'm getting at here. I want to see some quick decisions, and I want to see the team get whittled down a lot faster than it normally does. Because if we get to December 1st and we're still trying to figure out what this team looks like, it's going to be too late. And that sounds crazy, but we know how this goes for Dayton. They need to make the hay in November. It just has to be that way.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think you got to, you know, your point is well taken, that AG needs to figure out who he's going to be rolling with as we go forward. And I think he needs to know by the time they step on the floor in Maui against North Carolina. Like, you have, like, playing against a program like that, like, you got to know what you want to do, how you're going to do it, and how you're going to attack that team. Because, hey, newsflash, North Carolina, pretty good. They're a pretty good right. basketball team. Dayton will probably be a double-digit underdog in that game. Now, can they win it? Sure. Dayton's got a little bit of magic out there on the island when they go there every 5 or 6 years or so. And then
you've seen it in person.
Right, I have, and I'm going to see it in person again this year. Stay tuned.
Attaboy, yeah.
And then, if you know, regardless of if you win or lose that game against North Carolina, then you're going to play either Auburn or Iowa State, who are two more Power 5 programs that are pretty decent. So I know when we talk about these mid-season tournaments and everything and how, like, it's imperative to go, you know, 2-1 or 1-2 or not to lose all three. But if you take a look at this Maui bracket, like, there's a real chance Dayton goes 0-3. And here's the thing. Sure. If they go 0-3, it's not the end of the world. Because it's not none of those are going to be bad losses. You know, it just would add tack three on your loss column. But if you lose to North Carolina, Auburn, and then you know, Memphis or Colorado, like, that's not going to sink you. Now, but as any win you get in this tournament is gravy. So that I think you got to know what you're going to do and what your plan is going to be by the time the boys get off the plane in Hawaii. So that's just what I think. And I'm kind of with you where – these first games, like, let's figure some stuff out. Let's try some things. How's Mally going to fit? Is he going to start? I don't think he will, but how will he handle a new role? And like you said, he hasn't played competitive basketball in 18 months. And really that's more like 24, 25 months because he only played like 8 minutes last year and he missed the year prior. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But that leads us right into Dayton's first action. The new public scrimmage for mental health. I forget the official title of it, but now, you know, Dayton has kind of started a trend here as there are multiple of these throughout the country. UC and Ohio State played in one. There's another one in the middle of the country that I can't really remember. And then Dayton hosted Xavier. Dayton lost the scrimmage 98-74. I don't read too much into the final score or anything like that. Teams are just trying stuff. Xavier was hot from three. Did you watch any of this, Sully? You watch a little? Did you watch a lot? How much of this game did you catch?
No, for me, it was actually 0%. It was a Sunday. I had a bunch of stuff to do. And I'm not going to, you know, mince words about it. But, of course, because I'm, you know, a great preparer of podcast material, of course, I looked through the box score, wanted to see what was going on. So, you know me, people that's listening to this show. I'm not going to bullshit you and be like, oh, my God, so here's what looks good on the box score. That's nonsense. You know, what you need to think about is I heard from reputable sources because I have people that'll text me after the game. Here's what I saw. And of course, I'm getting good intel of people that I trust amongst you listeners. But the thing that I heard was that Xavier treated it like a game they wanted to win and Dayton treated it like a scrimmage. Neither approach is wrong. Nope. And it kind of lends itself to what you said, right? Like, let's not read too much into this. But if you do read into it or you want to, it's pretty easy to figure out why Dayton lost. Xavier was 46% from three. Dayton was 21% from three. But again, as you look down the minutes here, Dayton gave 10 guys considerable minutes. 11 guys considerable minutes. So it tells me that the credence that I was given was particularly correct was Xavier treated it like a game that they really wanted to win. And frankly, I'll say this too. I expect Xavier to be a very good team this year.
I think
they took their lumps in 1 year. And I think this was kind of them seeing like, hey, what do we have on night one against a pretty decent, maybe tournament bound Dayton team. So that's kind of what I see. You know, if you want to take something away from it, it's probably going to be some variation of what I just said.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Xavier point that I do think they are going to have a pretty, pretty good season this year. And I also think someone else down the highway who's on our schedule this year, I think UC is going to be another tough one. I think UC is going to be very, very good this year. So I am going to try and pull off the double on December 14th. Dayton plays Marquette at 7. The Crosstown Shootout is that afternoon at 2.
Right.
I'm going to try and swing both of those games. I'm going to see if I can get to both of them. I think that would be a fun thing to do, maybe document it on the socials. Kind of see what's up, get a little intel on UC before we play them. We play them 13 days from or 2 weeks from that day. Right. No, that's the following week. No. The following Friday. No,
it's boom, boom, boom there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you
it's the following Friday, the 20th, is when Dayton plays UC. So
yeah.
That's you know, it'll be interesting to see how that goes there. So, and so we've talked about it. Your key non-con games this season, we've mentioned Northwestern and Maui. December 14th, you got Marquette. The 17th, you got UNLV. And then the 20th, you go back to UC for some reason. You know, so what is a good non-con record here in games that matter? So you have Northwestern 1, Marquette 2, UNLV 3, UC 4, and then 3 games in Maui. So you have 7 games, assuming that you win the rest of your non-conference schedule. How many losses are the alarm bells going off? How many losses is it like, all right, we're fine? And then how many losses is it like, all right, full steam ahead, this team is really good?
Yeah, right. A few minutes ago, we were talking about like how, you know, if Dayton can't figure it out by the time they get home from Maui. And I know there were some people reacting saying, well, hold on, Dayton has opportunities after that. And you're right. Dayton just doesn't want to come home from Maui and have those opportunities be must-win situations, right, which they could very easily. You could come home from Maui in a, you know, what, 4-5 situation. You beat no one of worth, and now you really have to win both games. Like, we don't want to be in that position, really sweating it out, right? So you always play 13 nowadays. 13 games with Capital included, of course. So I can't remember like how those count against the schedule. I want to say that it's like it's on their record, but it doesn't count against the
like the net rankings and things of that.
Sorry, yes, the net rankings. I was blanking. Yes, so that is what I know, is that it will say something in Dayton's record about them winning that game, but it won't count against their net ranking. So let's leave that out, the win that game. So the 12 others is what we're talking about. And frankly, this is probably the best non-con schedule that I can remember in Neil Sullivan's entire tenure at UD.
No doubt.
Probably pre-Archie days. I mean, this is a really strong non-con. So whereas 8-5 would put Dayton good and out of the chase, the right mixture of 8-5 is not right. A death sentence for this team. 9-4 is probably like ideal work, and anything better than that, and this is like a tournament bound, don't slip up in A-10, just like last year type of team, right? Because last year you went in 10-2, and we said to ourselves, hey, if you're 14-4, even 13-5, like no problem, Dayton's in. And that's exactly what happened, right? It was a kind of not a mix we were expecting, but by and large, Dayton missed all the landmines last year. They only lost games on the road, which can only benefit you. So, you know, I'll kind of say the same thing. We're talking about 12 games this year, and 8-4 is fine. If you're 7-5, then the ice is thin. 9-3, and it's, you know, hype train ahead. Dayton should be ranked and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and the nice thing about the non-con this season, that is, your three of your biggest non-con games are at home. You get Northwestern at home, right. You get Marquette at home, and you get UNLV at home. Those are three great opportunities.
And you get Cincinnati. I mean, you know, Cincinnati's like the, let's call it a homish game, right? Yeah. Like, you're not losing anything by going to play that game.
Right. It's not like you're hopping on a plane and, you know, having to travel and worry about air travel going, like, no, you're just taking a bus 45 minutes down the road. And
building is 50% our fans anyway.
As the whole city of Dayton rides behind the team bus to roll into Cincinnati, plus the great contingent of Dayton people we have here in the Queen City.
That's right.
So we discussed a little bit last year. We have lost Daron Holmes, who will go down as one of the best players in program history. He came in as the highest rated recruit in program history, and he leaves, you know, fulfilling all those promises of you know, bringing success to the University of Dayton. He wins a tournament game his final year.
You're having a moment on the show?
A little bit.
This is the official moment, because we never had one.
Yes, you know? this is the moment. Unfortunately, as many people listening here probably know, Daron tore his Achilles in his first preseason game, so he's rehabbing that. He's playing for the Denver Nuggets. And we also lost the Kobes. Kobe Brea and Kobe Elvis have moved to different programs. Kobe Brea heads to Kentucky, and Kobe Elvis heads to Oklahoma. Those three players.
Let's interject. Let's talk about it. How much are you rooting for these guys? I have to talk about it, because somebody wanted to interject on Twitter today. They want to get into it. I know not everybody listens to the show on Twitter. How do you feel about the guys that have gone to other programs?
This is my.
I feel it's very selective. But
this is
go on.
This is my official stance, and it's pretty much going to be uniform. you know, obviously circumstances can change, and I could really, really hate somebody who leaves. But all in all,
Chapman.
Yeah, let's not bring him up. All in all, like,
sorry,
it's these kids, right? With the landscape of how college basketball works, it is entirely the two Kobe's right to put themselves out into the market, see what kind of NIL deals they can get from a different school, and transfer away.
Right now, get up to a $15 gift card after rebate when you purchase select SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hold no ill will to the people, to Kobe Elvis or Kobe Brea personally. Now, when I flip on the Kentucky game, I hope Kobe Brea goes 0 for 12. I do. I hope he goes 0 for 12 from 3. That's simple as that. You don't play for me anymore. You don't play for my team anymore, so I no longer have any use for you. I'm right. Not going to sit here and be like, oh, look, Kobe Brea's 7 of 11 from 3 for Kentucky against Arkansas tonight. Good for him, man. Good job. No, I'm not going to do that. I've got too much pride to do that kind of stuff. Now, like I said, there's no malice. No, like, I don't hate the guy. It was his right. It was his decision. He's free to make it. It's also my decision to not want to celebrate him to be successful. That's just me.
I needed to get into this just a little bit, because now with the changing landscape of NIL, and you know, the show is not going to veer off too much in talking about this. It does change how we look at the team, how you look at the team, how you root for players, right? I don't know. I don't think I'm breaking news to people, but Daron Holmes and the ilk of Daron Holmes are a dying breed for this program specifically. You'll probably still get guys that play for 4 years at Duke and UConn, or, you know, Alex Caravan's like, I want to be the most winningest college basketball player ever. Of course, they're winning titles, right? When you go to bigger programs, you're at the top, so there's no reason for guys not to develop their game if they're not ready for the NBA. But now that we've changed completely how we look at college basketball, how it's funded and how money is dispersed, I do find myself shifting my fandom closer to professional sports than ever, because you're here to do a job. You're paid to do a job. And frankly, it's kind of this immediate lesson in being an adult that probably not a lot of college kids are ready for, right? You're 18 years old, you're coming out of high school, and I hate to break this to you, but you're like a breath away from being a college employee that is on payroll, and that has a job to do. And if you can't do that job, you're going to get fired, let go, and you have to go find somewhere else that's going to employ you. I mean, we're as close to that as we could ever be. And I can tell everybody that's listening to this podcast that wants to hear my opinion on it, there will be contracts in college basketball soon. So as we root for Dayton players like Kobe Brea, love what he did for us. I don't have to have some farewell ceremony. We did all that. He graduated from UD. He's going to play for Kentucky. Frankly, I don't give a rat's ass what he does for Kentucky one way or the other. I will not root for Kentucky just like I have every other season of my life, right? And I think in years past, there's been like situations where it made sense for guys to leave. And so you kind of follow that path, like Frankie Policelli, right? Not even too far away, like 5 years ago, where it made sense for him to kind of move out of the way because there was no place for him. So a lot of people rooted for him to be like, oh, go ahead, Frankie. But like nowadays, almost all players that come into Dayton will be treated as mercenaries in some degree. And so it's just some people are kind of trying to make this a debate, but it really isn't a debate. Like, you don't have to invest time in like getting to know the players in the same way that you used to, because frankly, the students won't either. You know, you hate to say that, but how many guys did you know when you went to school that were 3 and 4 year guys? You knew they were on the team. You know, when I was there, Chris Johnson, Chris Wright, you know, Paul Williams, Luke Fabrizius, like all those guys were around 4 and 5 years. You got to know them. They were part of our community. But now you're just part of the basketball team. And if people don't want to hear that, like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear it. But I mean, that's just kind of how being a fan has changed the Dayton Flyers, right?
Yeah. It, you know, and I was in college, you know, 8 years ago, seven, 6 years ago, which really isn't, in the grand scheme of things, isn't that far off. And I was in school at the same time as Kyle Davis, Scoochie Smith, and Kendall Pollard, who are probably going to be the last great, like, collective class to go through Dayton in 4 years and graduate. Like, right. Am I?
They'll have the most wins for the next like 20 years as
right,
a threesome.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You know, Duran, you know, Duran did it where, you know, he stayed, you know, technically he didn't graduate, but he left for the NBA. But like, even, you know, Obi had like Mike Sell and Landers kind of, you know, in between him, like in between him or not in the same, not the exact same class as him. So like those three guys are kind of the last of, you know, as you called it, a dying breed where they arrive on campus, they become campus celebrities through the 4 years that they're there, and then they graduate. And anytime they come back, they get celebrated. They, you know,
right.
The people are going up to them in the streets, you know, Scoochie, 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 can I get a picture?
Dude, let me use this as an example, because that is a really good point, okay, of like how the guys become part of the community. And I know the guy personally, so I'm allowed to do this, and I'm not going to throw shade, but like Luke knows what kind of player he was. But Luke Fabrizius, for people that maybe you're too young, you listen to the show, Luke Fabrizius was like a good role player for the Dayton Flyers for 4 years. He shot the three, didn't really bang down low.
6 years too early. He was six years too early.
He was a tall three-point role player, right? And the reason I'm bringing this up is that Luke was beloved on campus. And he's a great guy, and that's kind of part of this.
Yeah.
But the secondary is, I'm using him as like a broader example to say that like, Luke Fabrizius was just a role player on a handful of teams that were good, but he was beloved. Everybody on campus knew Luke. He was part of the community, graduated with me, same day as me, you know, and that part of rooting for the team is frankly going to start going away, and kind of already has. And yep. And that's the sympathy that I have for people, is that like, you know, I had a class of guys that were just cool dudes to hang out with. And it'll just kind of be in and out. And Malachi and Duran were kind of that. Like Malachi, we can't throw him out. He's been in school for a little bit. Yep. But you can see where we're going with this. It's just, it's unfortunate that it's gone this way, but there is a benefit of it. The college kids are profiting. But unfortunately, there's a negative side to this business as well.
And then you look at the roster. I mean, heck, you look at the roster. Javon Bennett, transfer. Nate Santos, transfer. Posh Alexander, transfer. Enoch Cheeks, transfer.
Right. Yeah, we're benefiting just like everybody else, right?
Like Isaac Jack, transfer. Like, I just named off four or five guys that are going to be playing the most minutes for you. Like, the only guy that's probably going to get substantial minutes for this team this year that started here is Malachi Smith. And if either of the freshmen step up right. And are worthy of playing time. And
good point. Zed Keys from Ohio State. I hate Ohio State, but you know what? He plays for Dayton now. So he's right. My boy. Let's fucking go. Just like Jordan Seibert.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, hopefully he's 75% as impactful as Jordan Seibert was to the Dayton Flyers. I mean. I'll be over the moon if that's the case.
The knife cuts, you know, both ways.
Before we drifted off into that tangent, I was going to bring up that Duran and the Kobes, they accounted for 40.9 points, 14.5 rebounds, and 7.3 assists. So that's what you're looking to replace this year, and you're trying to get it from the guys that, you know, we just listed off. Zed Key from Ohio State, Posh Alexander from Butler, Jacob Marshall from Marshall, and Hamad Musa and Emil Letang, I think is how you say it.
He has no chance of not being called Letang because, I mean, you know why. Chris Letang's played for the Penguins for 15 years. The guy's name's going to be Letang for me forever, and I'm sorry to him. Yep, but
that's just beaten into your brain.
All the Pittsburgh fans are just going to call him Letang, and they don't care about the apostrophe. Yep.
And then you have, like, you know, you don't know if two redshirt freshmen, Marvell Allen, you have no idea what he's going to give you, and Juwan Simon. So, you know, that's really your team right there. And then your returners of Santos, Cheeks, Jack, and Bennett and Malley. So that's the team. That's the team that we're riding with. And you know what? For the next 6-7 months, they're my guys.
Right.
Let's see,
right.
Let's see if they stay my guys after it. But for now, they're my guys, and I'm going to, it's time to ride with them.
Right. And yeah. And this is going to be every year now. And like we just said, I brought the topic up because it's a perfect lead in. Dayton's going to benefit from this transfer portal Ferris wheel just as much as anybody, and probably more so than most teams in the conference. But I said it at the top of the show, getting the guard kind of rotation early, I think that'll be really important. Just a ton of question marks, right? Like guys we've never seen before. And if you're trying to make like really bold predictions right now, I would refrain from it. And you know what? Yeah. I'll take it a step further. I find myself being very refreshed that I don't have expectations for what this team will or will not be I just expect them to get to the tournament because they play at the University of Dayton.
Right.
And I like that, right? I expect them to play slow because they play for Anthony Grant, and that's his style. But beyond that, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be a good three-point shooting team. I don't think so, because they lost the best three-point shooter in the country, and not a lot of teams can be great three-point shooting teams after losing that. But again, I would just be guessing. So I had a conversation with one of my friends who knows basketball quite well here in the area, and he said, hey, I don't know why people are sleeping on the Flyers. I think they're going to be awesome. And I go, well, why do you think that? And he said, just a feeling. And you know what? That's perfectly fine.
Yep.
So if you find yourself right now in the preseason going, I got just a feeling that these guys are going to be good, hey, that's cool. But if someone says, I have no idea, or I think they'll stink, that those arguments have just as much merit. They're based on nothing. And I find that quite refreshing, because think about how many years it's been where you go into it thinking, we need Mike Sell to do this. We need 10 points. Obi's got to progress, get a little better. Boy, Duran's got, Malachi doesn't, he can't turn the ball over. Like, we're not talking about any of that stuff. We're just like, hey, let's go win game one. Let's win game two.
And like last year, like we knew what we had. Now, obviously, we brought in, Bennett and Santos. We weren't exactly sure what, but we brought Holmes back. We brought a lot of that nucleus back. So there was, there was the set expectation of what we were going to get going into the year. This year, we don't really have that. You know, because as I said,
last year was like, don't waste a year of fucking Holmes.
Correct. Right. And that, and like I said, you make the tournament, you win a game, kind of releases the pressure off your shoulders a little bit. Like, okay, we don't have to keep bringing up how many years it's been since we've made the tournament, how many years it's been since we've won a tournament game. You know, none of that will be discussed this year because, the last time we did that was last season. So, obviously this is a new year and last season doesn't matter anymore, but I do think that that is a legitimate weight off of Grant's shoulders, the players that are still there, and quite frankly, this podcast host. So I don't have to keep bringing it up.
Yeah. I mean, the fan conversation, right? Like whether people want to admit it or not, we've had a significant hand in leading fan conversation, at least on social media, for the better part of this decade.
Yep.
Whether people would like to give us 10% credit of that or 90, I don't really give a shit.
It's a slice of the pie.
We have led a lot of conversation on social media about what is going on at Dayton. And you know what? Like, there's still naysayers of just about any aspect of the program, but I think everybody kind of saw it in the off season was there was this collective deep breath by the fan base of, all right, like it'll be okay. Right. Yep. Because I think there was definitely fork in the road there, especially after the OB years and after the 2 years where we really squandered the momentum that Dayton had, that there was just real cause for concern and it was legitimate. On the other side, it was, hey, we think Grant's a great coach and here's why. And those arguments were legitimate, but we really don't have to do that anymore because I love that this is kind of a clean break and then a start of AG chapter 3, right?
Yep, I would agree with that.
Yeah, it's like you had the first 4 years that culminated in 2020, or first 3 years rather. And that was awesome, right? Everybody was just loving that. And then, kind of that hangover afterwards that was definitely aided by the pandemic super sucked. And Dayton definitely got a raw deal on how hard they were impacted by it. But I digress. And now that Duran's gone, it's like last year, just like we were saying, going into the year, it was, well, Duran is the team. You build around him. And that was, of course, what won us games. And so this year it's fresh. We get to kind of be anything. And that's why I really am excited to just let's hit the reset button. We don't have to have this whole does Grant need to be let go? Or does he need to step aside? Or all this kind of crap that we talked about when we weren't winning games. But when you win a game in March, even if it's just one game, when you lost the first game of the A-10 tournament, everybody now saw again how important that is. We lost the first day of the A-10 tournament like we always do. Nobody cares or remembers. You know why? Because we won that one game in the NCAA tournament, period.
That's right. That is right. I think we've kind of exhausted all that we can before the actual basketball starts. Had some good conversation. We'll do a quick little abbreviated A-10 rundown sort of segment. Let's talk about some championship odds, shall we?
Let's do it.
On the DraftKings Sportsbook, VCU is the favorite at +250. not surprising there. Dayton in second at plus 350. St. Joe's in third at plus 650. George Mason at 700. St. Louis, 750. I think that's pretty good value, folks.
I like the value there. Like the value.
That's the if I was making a value play here, I think St. Louis plus 750 would be the value play. And then Loyola Chicago at plus 850, and then it dips all the way down to plus 2,000, which makes the rest of the list irrelevant. So, yeah, you're looking at VCU, St. Joe's, Mason, St. Louis, and Chicago. I think those are the six teams. I did see, who was it, that said, like, they thought the A-10 could get five teams in. It was a national guy. Was it Greenberg or?
It was somebody posturing and doing the whole like. So I love this conference this year, guys. Best it's ever been.
What I will say is that they aren't going to get five teams in.
No,
or six teams in the tournament. But I do think there are six legitimate teams who can make the NCAA tournament.
Sure,
in a multi bid facet. Like I think they can get two to three, and I think there are six teams who can do it. And I think it's the six that I just rattled off there. VCU, Dayton, St. Joe's, Mason, St. Louis, and Loyola Chicago. Now, I don't know schedules. I don't know who plays who or, you know, all that stuff. I'm just going strictly off of, you know, guessing, basically, is that I think there's six legit teams in the A-10 this year, which is more than we could say in the past.
Yeah, it's going to happen pretty quick like it does in all years. Loyola's non-con is bad. I'd be upset if I was one of their fans, and VCU's isn't much better. They're playing Seton Hall. They got Colorado State, New Mexico. That's pretty much it. And of course I'm keeping out, you know, that they all play these, exempt tournaments, right? Like, VCU is in the Charleston tournament this year, right? So they'll probably get a crack at somebody else. And then, Loyola Chicago, they're in like a Christmas tournament, I think, like the one in Hawaii. Theirs is very unimpressive. And then St. Louis, same thing. It's a little bit touch and go here. They're in some exempt tournament in, I think it's in Kansas City. And other than that, they're playing like it's Wichita, it's San Francisco, and it's Grand Canyon. So I say all that not to like poo-poo on their non-cons, just to say Dayton will have the most opportunities to do some damage here in the non-con. And I really believe that's going to be the difference when we get into conference play of to, you know, are we ranked? Are they ranked? Whatever. So I'm saying all this because like the heavy lifting will have to probably be done by the majority of the A-10 teams in conference play. And just like with all years, Dayton's going to be the huge marquee win that they're all after. Right.
That's certainly right.
I think so.
And if the season goes how we hope it does, then that will definitely be the case where, you know, every team that steps into UD Arena really, really wants to win that night. So that's really all I got for tonight. Sully, you got anything else? Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I always have final thoughts. You know, it's good to have basketball season around. I put a poll up recently that was like, does basketball season start too early? I personally think it does. I would like the week leading up to Thanksgiving to kind of be that kickoff so that Thanksgiving week, you have the Maui Invitational, maybe you get to play one game before that. But this thing where we're starting early November, we got preseason games in October. I think people just aren't ready because we've talked about it a lot on the show. There's the diehards that listen to programs like this. But we're only like 20 to 30% of the fan base. Really what you got to get is the other 70, and the other 70 are not tuned into college basketball when it's up against any kind of college football or any other activities in November. Right. So my PSA, it'll never happen of course, cause the money's rolling in, but I do wish the season would start just a little bit later. We could squeeze more games in, but it is what it is, man. I think everybody's happy. And, you know, like we said, this is a great non-con schedule. So if you have a chance to go to some of these games, I mean, shit, I can't even believe sometimes we got Marquette to come to Dayton. I thought those days were over.
Yep.
So it's definitely a shifting point of how Dayton has branded itself, I guess, because we always said that the biggest problem we had in the non-con was we really haven't branded ourselves as a contender. So why would you take the chance at taking a swing at Dayton at home? It just wasn't worth your time or effort. Well, maybe this year, maybe moving forward, we have turned that tide. Maybe Dayton is strong enough brand where it's not going to hurt you too much to come into UD Arena and lose. And that's all we've really been asking for in the non-con. And hey, it's delivered. So I guess my final thoughts are kind of centered around this, Drew. Like this off season, I didn't hear a whole lot of arguing online.
Nope.
There wasn't really anything controversial going on because we get to just turn the page. We had a great end of the Duran career, even though, you know, we probably would have wanted a little bit more winning in those first 2 years that he was on campus, of course. But, you know, it was not a storybook ending, but it was great. You know, it was a great end of the season. It was a great turn of the page in my perspective. So I'm ready for this season to just kind of start fresh.
Yep, we're all singing Kumbaya right now. Just wait till we get into January. That will no longer be the case, I'm sure. That's going
to
do it.
All stuff to bitch about.
That is going to do it for us tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you've returned, welcome back. If you're new, welcome. Hit subscribe on the podcast button. Leave us a rating, all that good stuff. And we'll be coming at you with episodes throughout the year. Sully's going to be around. I'm sure we'll have some great guests throughout the year. It's going to be an exciting season. Dayton basketball is almost upon us. To refresh everybody's memory here, we have two rules on the show. Sully, can you remind me what those two rules are?
They are wear red and be loud.
That's it for us, folks. Take care.